If you will, please turn in your Bible to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 10. We do well to remind our hearts of the prayer meetings connected with these Gospel meetings that precede the Gospel meeting, a very necessary atmosphere for whenever the Word of God is opened, for we are dependent upon its author to bless it. And the prayer meeting that follows likewise, we're thankful for those that remain, both men and women, to spend time before God, that the Word of God will prosper upon the hearts of those that hear it tonight. So if you can stay to pray, be pleased to go downstairs immediately following the meeting. Don't wait for us two men to come. Go down and lay hold upon God. That's what we need. And we trust that we will see the blessing of His Word even in this meeting tonight. Now we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 17. And the 70, that is 70 men, whom the Lord Jesus sent out, two by two, to preach His gospel, they returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through Thy name. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now the latter part of that little verse has been upon my mind that I hope will be a message for some hearts who are gathered in this room tonight. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There are various occasions in our experience in life when we do rejoice because our names are written in certain areas. I think of a very homely little illustration that I have to confess meant an awful lot to me when I was a boy. Amazingly, I say amazingly because I find it rather a crude way of doing things in the school system when I was a boy. We never found out if we passed from one grade to another until it came out in the newspaper. I'd like to tell you, if your name wasn't in the newspaper, you were one sad boy or one sad girl. And I can remember well, it was always the first day in the month of July. That's when the newspaper, evening newspaper arrived. The first people that got a hold of it were the children. And down on the floor we went, going over the grades. There's your grade, there's mine. Boy, I'll tell you, don't get in my way. I wanted to see if my name was written in the newspaper. And when it was, we were mighty happy. We didn't have to get on the phone and call Auntie so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so. It was written, and that's what gave us the joy. My friend, tonight may I say to you most kindly, I rejoice many, many times. I bow my knee gladly to the God of heaven. To give Him thanks to think and to know that this poor sinner's name is written in heaven. That's my passport to glory. That's my assurance of acceptance with God. God has inscribed my name in the book of life. Sometimes I just can't get over it. I can hardly imagine it. If it were an angel's name, I could understand, but there are no angels' names in that book. The Apostle Paul's name is there, that I can understand. But that this poor sinner should have his name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life is an amazing marvel of grace from the God of heaven. For I know my heart, and He knows it better than I do. And He has given me His Word to explain what my heart is like. And this is what He says. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How then can this poor, miserable sinner's name be written in heaven? Well, we find out in our little passage tonight, it's the Lord Jesus that reveals it. And I would like to note with you, if I can, for a little from this passage here tonight, friend, three things. I want you to take a look at the book. And then I would like you to take a look at the names in that book. And then, if we may, I'd like you to take a look at the author of the book. And I trust tonight, if there is one heart or more than one in this little audience, and if this little text would only get down into your heart as you sit up in this little gospel meeting tonight, I hope, my friend, if you do not have the assurance that your name is written in heaven, whatever you do, get it tonight. That's God's offer in the gospel, for without it, there is no heaven. I don't know if you have ever been to the city of Washington, D.C., and seen the memorial that they have erected there for the Vietnam veterans. It's really a very, very striking memorial. If you've ever been there, you will realize what I am telling you. It's something that just seems to put awe into you. The very character of it. It's a long thing, and it almost goes down into the ground, and it's just a very touching sight. Inscribed on the wall of that polished granite are the names of men who gave their life. I've seen parents stand there. And I recall seeing a man, and he raised his little grandson. I don't know who the little boy's father was, but he might have been written on that wall, I do not know. I see him raise his little grandson, and he takes his little grandson's hand, and he puts it on a name. He says, "That's him, my boy. That's him." Touching the name inscribed on that wall of a loved one, maybe his father, maybe his uncle, I do not know. But there his little wee hand was put upon the marks of that name. My friend tonight, a name upon that memorial has gone down in the history of time. And many names bring sorrow that are written on that wall. Many names bring memories of boyhood, memories to a mother's heart. Could I say to you tonight that if your name was written in the book of life, it can never be erased. And the very finger of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ will touch that name. In a coming day, as I look at the Lord Jesus as he takes the book of life, the wounded hand of the Son of God turns its pages, and it marvels my heart to realize that found in that book is James Norman Smith. My name. Well, you say there's a lot of them. Well, I hope there's a lot of them, but I know there's one of them, and that's mine. Ah, friend, tonight I trust that it will be a touching experience for you tonight in your conscience to realize that if your name is not in that book, there will be no heaven. Furthermore, you will have to be confined to everlasting punishment for your sin. Now let me note with you how the Lord Jesus introduces this book of life in this passage. Here are 70 men and they've been away preaching. And my friend, could I say to you, it's the greatest honor of a man's life to preach the gospel. It's a greater business than being the president or the premier, or even the king or the queen, to preach the gospel of God's grace. It's the grandest message, friend, that you could hear. You children in this meeting that are being raised in homes where mom and dad pray for you every day, and you had the Bible opened at your supper table tonight if you had that time before you came to the meeting, and you've seen its pages, you've memorized its verses. Amazing. Can I say to you here tonight that the marvel of the grace of God through the gospel, the best message that could ever come to your ear. I saw a man one time, and he won $10 million, one of those lotteries, you know, and he was a truck driver. And there was a number of the truck drivers all gathered around him. You know what he was doing? Jumping up and down. I mean, literally, he almost lost the thing. Up and down, he was a jumping. $10 million! Let me tell you, friend, it makes my soul jump, and I have to reproach myself. I don't jump up and down enough to realize my name is written in heaven, and that will last longer than $100 million. Where is your name tonight, friend? Now, there are many areas where names are written of renown. It just could be your name is written in a place of renown, some hall of fame. There are men's names. There are plaques for them. There they are. Someone else comes along and outdoes them. Their name goes in there too. Have your name in the hall of fame. That may give you pleasure. But friend, if you had your name in heaven, think of it, your sins forgiven. Heaven is your home. The Lamb's book of life. The Lord Jesus speaks of it here as being in heaven. And these dear men that were preaching that gospel, they were happy. Happy to see the fruits of the gospel. And this little room tonight is filled with the fruits of that gospel. Could I ask you, friend, has the gospel of God's grace for sinners ever brought you blessing? Was there ever a time in your life, an experience in your life, when God awakened your conscience to see that you were on the road to judgment because of your own sin and because of who you are, young or old, and stirred up about that condition? You cried to God for mercy to keep you from going down into hell. And you heard the message of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trusted Him with your soul for salvation. You look back to a time like that? That's what the Bible is talking about. That's when a man's name is found in the book of life, when he trusts the sinner's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. While these disciples so happy and so full of joy to see that even the old devil was being beaten by the gospel. And let me tell you tonight, friend, there is a real devil. The Bible reveals it. The Lord Jesus says here, I saw the devil. And He says, I saw him cast out of heaven. My friend, the Lord Jesus is the only one that has power over that evil being. You and I are no match for him. The devil is a real, sinister, subtle personality. And his aim is to see as many of us human beings as he can get a hold of to be lost with himself in the eternal sufferings of the judgment of God. He's pushing men over the brink every day. Be careful, young man, he doesn't push you over the brink. You also, my dear young lady, careful lest he suddenly deceive you and push you over the edge and laugh at you when you're gone forever. He's an adversary of God. He's an adversary of the gospel. He is in every gospel meeting, unseen, unheard. He is there, the Lord Jesus reveals it, to take away that word of promise, to take away that word of assurance, that word of invitation. Ah, be wise tonight, friend. Your soul is in the balance of a real heaven and a real hell. And the gospel's the answer to save you from hell and fit you for heaven, having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whatever you do, don't let them cheat you out of God's great salvation. It's marvelous to think of the Lord Jesus. It shows here, of course, that passage shows that the Lord Jesus was in heaven, not as a man, but as the eternal Son of God before He ever came into the world. That passage reveals it. My Savior is God, the eternal God, and He took to Himself humanity that He might become my substitute at Calvary, to suffer for my sin. He loved me that much, friend. I cannot tell you why. And His message is that He loved you and came from heaven to meet your need as a sinner. And tonight He lives in heaven and He's offering the great joy and assurance of having your name written in the book of life. Let me note with you quickly the three things that I mentioned concerning this book. Take a look at the book. Seven times this book is mentioned in the last book of our Bible, the book of the Revelation. It's important, friend. Right from the very beginning of the book, in chapter 3, you'll find it. And you go right through the book into the last chapter, and there it is again, the book of life. Marvelous. I have to say sometimes, I really look forward to seeing that book. I don't know what size it is. I don't know what it looks like. Must be a thick one. Multitudes of men and women saved by the grace of God from way back in the day of Pentecost it began. Here it is tonight, friend. Marvelous book. A book inscribed in it, the names of sinners deserving of God's judgment, but who took Christ as their Savior, and their name is written in the book of life. You know another beautiful thing about that book? The Lord Jesus reminds the people back in the book of Revelation, if your name is in the book, it'll never get taken out. My friend, God's gospel, God's salvation is given to sinners as a free gift, and you can't lose it. Once saved, always saved. That's the teaching of the Bible. My friend, that should be good news for you tonight. If you could get to know Christ as the one who is the Savior of your soul, you could never lose it. Can't lose Him. He can't lose me. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful book. My friend, it's the passport to heaven. Why, in the second to the last chapter of the book of the Revelation, this is the way God puts it about this book. I'm emphasizing it, friend, for I want you to see the importance of it. It's not only showing the reality of being assured you're going to be in heaven, but you must have your name in that book or you will never be in heaven. You've got to get this settled. You've got to get down to business with God about having your name in the book of life. The last verse of chapter 21 of Revelation reads like this. John has been given a look into heaven, and he says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Ever had a defiling thought? Then you could not be in heaven if you died tonight. You'd have to have that cleansed through the power of the precious blood of Christ. No, never enter into heaven anything that defileth or that works an abomination. That word abomination means crooked. Ever done anything crooked? Cheat under the carpet a little bit? For shame, my friend. Furthermore, what the Lord is showing is a man who has committed sin cannot enter God's heaven. He must have that set right. He must be forgiven righteously, eternally by God. But he adds this little P.S. But they whose names are written in the book of life. Those are the ones who will be in heaven. Who are they, friend? There's defiled, crooked sinners who have been saved. That's the ones whose names are in the book. Yes, I've been defiled. Yes, I've been crooked. But thank God I've been saved. That makes all the difference, my friend in the meeting tonight. That's what God is holding out to you tonight. Don't pass it by. It's not a religion. God is wanting men to become religious. No, God is not asking you, my friend, if you do your part, then I'll do mine. He's trying to tell you, you've already done your part. You've done the defiling. You've done the crookedness. And I have done the work that saves. He has done all that is necessary through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus upon Golgotha's cross. When he entered into darkness alone as the sin bearer on behalf of men, he puts it this way in his precious word. Listen to him, friend. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, with what he bore, with what he was punished with, we are saved. That's how a man has his name put into the book of life. Beautiful book. Precious book. Is your name there, friend, tonight? I trust that this verse, the teaching of the Lord Jesus, if your name is not in that book, I hope it will make you long for it, even tonight, to know that my name in that book tells me the matter of my sins has all been put away. My history will never be brought up against me. My name is in the book of life. It's the enrollment of men and women who will be in heaven. God calls them saints. Isn't that a beautiful name? That's the name of everyone that's in the book. They're saints of God. My friend, that's what salvation does. Now, that word saints doesn't mean to say that they're sinless. No, when we get to heaven, we will be. But it means that we have a passport to heaven. My friend, do you have that tonight? That's what that book conveys. Look at the names that are in that book. I think of Zacchaeus. Dear Zacchaeus was a little Jewish man. If you're not acquainted with the story, read Luke 19. You'll find the story of that little man. And that man got stirred up about meeting God concerning his sins. Because the very first thing he mentions when he talks to the Lord Jesus is about his own sins. And he's glad that they're gone. My, he got that all in one moment. There's Zacchaeus. Up the tree he went, literally, hiding up in a tree in order that he might get a view of the Lord Jesus as he's looking down on him. The Lord Jesus stopped right under the tree. Is that why you're in this gospel meeting tonight, my friend? Is it possible that the Lord Jesus has stopped right under your tree? And he looks up to you tonight and he says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Today! Not a process. not next week, not tomorrow. Today, Zacchaeus, you could have me as your Savior. What did he do? Oh, I hope you do what he did, friend. He came down. Right on the spot. Down under the tree he came. He cared not what people thought about him climbing up a tree or coming down. He wasn't interested then about what people were going to say about the poor little Zacchaeus. Only one thing mattered. My name in that book. I must get to the Lord Jesus. And his name's in the book. The Lord Jesus said so. Today is salvation come to this house. Ah, friend, tonight is your name in the book of life. Ever a time in your experience like Zacchaeus when you came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus and trusted your soul to him for eternal salvation? There was another man on one occasion, or rather a lady, pardon me, and she was listening to the Lord Jesus preaching. And the Lord Jesus preached that beautiful text in Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know that dear lady on the perimeter of that crowd somewhere? She just took him at his word. Just took him at his word. Poor, burden-hearted sinner, knowing that her life, her history, was marked by defilement and crookedness. She was a sinner. You know when the Lord Jesus left that day? He went to a man's home for dinner. And coming in through the servant door is the woman. She makes her way over to the place where the Lord Jesus was reclining on a little couch. And she took him by the feet and she began to weep. Tears flowed from her eyes. Tears of thanksgiving. Why? He kept his word and he gave her rest. Peace of soul. Ah, friend, are you seeking peace about your sins tonight? Are you seeking peace about your eternity? If you died in your sins, you know you would awaken in hell, and you cry to God for mercy not to let you go to hell. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Take him at his word. That's what she did. And wiping his feet with her tears and with the hairs of her head, the Lord Jesus said to her, go in peace. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Her name's in the book. Sin put away. Her name is in the book. Won't it be marvelous to see her name in heaven in that book? Ah, friend, may I tell you of another poor sinner? This poor sinner, sitting on the side of a bed. One Sunday night, I discovered I was on the road to hell where God said I was going. Mind you, it was in the book all the time, but I didn't believe it until that Sunday night. And I saw it for myself. I'm going down to hell for my own sin. God, I can't stop myself. I do not know what to do. You know, as I sat in the back seat of that car, it reminded me of one time when I was going down the hill with a toboggan, and we couldn't stop ourselves and we're heading right for a tree. That's what I saw myself to be doing on the road down to the pit. On the road down to hell, and I can't stop myself. I've got nothing to hang on to. What are you hanging on to, friend? What would you hang on to keep you out of the pit tonight? How solemn it is. If you've never come to know the Lord Jesus, you've got nothing to hang on to. And that's where I was. But you know, there came a little verse to my mind, a verse I'd learned in Sunday school as I sat on the side of the bed, for when we were yet without strength. That was Jim Smith. I had nothing to keep me out of hell. Oh God, don't let me die like this. I meant it with all my heart. I did not want to die in my sin. And that little verse says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you know what I saw? That little word F-O-R? It meant that he took my place. He bore my curse. He bore my judgment. I will never have to go to hell. And I took him at his word, sitting there right at the side of the bed. He said it. I believe it. God says I'm saved. My name's in the book. What about yours tonight? Look at the names. Marvelous day when the Lord Jesus will look through that book for your name, friend. Yes, he will. If your name is not in that book, how solemn are the words. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, awful moment. Friend, the price of sin. I appeal to you young and old in this meeting, if you do not have the assurance that this hour your name is in that book, get down to business tonight. I look at the author. Can I show you the Lord Jesus rejoicing? He says, I rejoice too. Rejoicing that men's names are in that book. He lives tonight. The Savior that suffered the curse of sin, death, upon Golgotha's tree. He entered into death to break its power. And that third day he rose out from the tomb. A triumphant Savior who is able to save all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. May I apply that verse to you tonight, friend, and say to you kindly that if as a poor sinner you would turn to the Lord Jesus, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Friend, if you turn to the Lord Jesus tonight, his word for it, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Your name would be in the book. And I tell you, you'd thank him for it every day. Is your name in the book of life. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. God help every one of us who have that assurance to say from our heart tonight, hallelujah, what a Savior. God help us to appreciate him. And friend, turn to him that your name may be in the book and you be sure of being